Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you with me on the 16th day of January 2021. We're going to look at how a practice is done. People have all sorts of questions about what an authentic spiritual practice is, and it is really quite different than any other. There is not a casualness about this. I think in traditional ways of looking at spirituality, I don't know if it's transformational or not. I don't think it is. Most people are presenting, not teaching, presenting the same old over and over and over again, telling you what you should do, what you shouldn't do, that kind of thing. I take a far different approach. Inner work is not something that most people are akin to. They're not looking at inner work as being something that is important or essential to their life. And that's the sad part, because it really is. The interesting aspect of it all is that they take it into philosophy. And they think if they're doing their stretches or their yoga or their meditation and it's guided and they're listening to a story about being peaceful or imagining that they're getting things they want and removing themselves from the things they don't want, that somehow everything is groovy and they're in a practice. And that's not true. You can't keep the same lifestyle you have now and be in an authentic spiritual practice. There has to be a great change. And so people, I think, are looking for benefits, not insight. They're not looking for a change, a transformation. They're looking for something to adopt and adapt to their life. And the way they adapt to it, or have the practice or the philosophy adapt to their life, is it has to be convenient. It's got to be like brushing your teeth. You do it in the morning, afternoon, and night. And of course, you wouldn't do that with a spiritual practice. You only do it when you need it, or as a cautionary thing. It's really, I've heard it all in my day. Believe me, I have. And I just think that, well, okay, that's where you are, that's where you are. And I'm not here to change that or even to criticize it. And believe me, I'm not. I am saying to you, it's just not authentic. And if you're looking for something that is truly transformational, something that is truly important, then I think you'll find that you have to make a lifestyle out of it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to answer three questions that have been sent to me in the last month just about this subject. And it seems that the more people listen to the program here, the more questions they have, and that is good. And I'm honored to answer them. So let's get to the first one. This one is from Reagan in San Diego. How do I practice meditation when I am so worried? She's worried. And then she goes into what she's worried about. She is worried about work, her kids, her lifestyle. How do you move into a spiritual practice when you're so, as she said, worried? Everybody has worries. Every human body has worries. We worry about all sorts of things, things that are silly and things that are really important. And as we worry about these things and get caught up in them, we put into our life a lot of anger and fear. We put into our life the possibility for a lot of things to hurt us emotionally, psychologically. We really put ourselves at task, is what I call it. So here's how to deal with worry. What will be, will be. And it is not always the way we want it to be, but it is the way it is because that's the way we are. And as long as I live in the we are thing, the way we are, we have to have the willingness to face what is going to occur and understand that it is what, I hate to say this to you, what we're here for. We're here to face this. Now, I've had to do it in my life many, many times. And I think it happens with everybody many, many times in many different forms. I'm not talking about death or getting an illness that's going to kill you, although we all do face that one way or another. What I am talking about here is what is happening within us, how we face adversity, illness, injury, divorce, maybe disappointment with the kids or how they're, you know, turning out, yada, yada, yada. There's all sorts of different things that we all go through in the course of our lifetime. We're not here to avoid them. We're here to deal with them, and as they say, head on, but not with the human head. If I do it with my human logic and reasoning, I can be very, very cruel. I think the thing that is most important, Reagan, is to deal with it in love and to understand the totality of the situation and really understand what it's about. What is this really all about? What am I really facing here? What is really going on in my life? And that is a very important aspect of living. How do I deal with the things that I'm dealing with, the things that are difficult for me to deal with? This is really, really important. If I deal with everything in the course of my life based on my human genetics, my inherited genetics that tell me in my brain what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, that kind of thing, I am going to find it very, very difficult to deal with. Very difficult. So how do I practice meditation when I am so worried? Meditation, it's really hard for people to understand this. It is to remove yourself from the source of the worry. And what is the source of my worry, my insecurity, my fear, my, inability or my, here's the word, okay? It is the part of me that's immature, and I have to deal with my immaturity. Listen to me here, my darling. Don't act out of your impulse. If you do act out of impulse for any given thing that you're working on or any given thing that is difficult for you, you're going to miss. You're going to do things you wish you hadn't and make things even worse. So don't do that. Instead, work from your heart, from your authentic heart, not your human heart. And if you haven't cultivated the authentic heart all throughout your lifetime, you're only going to be able to deal with your human heart. And if your human heart is there, it's going to want vengeance and pride and vanity, and it's going to hit the panic button, and a lot of things are going to happen that are going to be very, very difficult, very, very difficult. So the best thing to do in that situation is to get as quiet as you possibly can. And sit and wait and watch. Sit and wait and watch and see what is happening for you within yourself. What is it that this situation is trying to teach you, trying to show you, trying to help you with? You just have to see it for what it is. And if you can, if you do, then something of the other shore could reach you. You have to understand your every difficulty I have or you have and that we're worrying about is there to help us. I know that sounds insane, that sounds petty, but it is true. And in meditation, you get to the core of it. You get to see what it is about me that made this possible. And then you can change it if you like. But if you don't, if you don't work on it, if you don't think in terms of working on it, then you're going to have oodles and oodles and oodles of issues that you don't need in your life. Worrying is just me going over the same circumstances, the same conditions over and over and over again to nauseam, and I'm not changing anything. Nothing is being changed. I am just going over it and over it. And the more I do that, the more I find my unconscious mind in play, and it will bring out all sorts of difficulties for me. This thing that we have of just living around and around and around in a circle is very, very ugly. We do it all the time. We worry, all of us. We worry about people being sick and all of that, and that can be all very true. But when you go into meditation, it has to be in the sanctity of your heart, and it has to be something you do because you know where the peace is in the eye of the storm. And frankly speaking, Ryan, most people don't. They don't cultivate meditation as a lifestyle. So this thing just recapitulates and recapitulates, and it becomes more and more frantic. And then worry becomes more and more frantic, and on it goes. Begin your practice now. Wherever you are, begin your practice now. That's the way to do it. And if you start immediately and you really get involved in it, and you can go to the website at aspire.org, as you know, and there are all sorts of things there to help you right now. How to meditate, what to do, how to work upon yourself, they're all there. And if you work on that, watch a few the TV programs, Passing Through the Fires, I would suggest. I think you'll find it really, really helpful. Okay, that is if you're sincere, and I'm going to assume you are. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. How do I forgive and move on in my life? This is a really great, great question too. Thank you both for your questions. Forgiveness is not something that you lay on someone, that you pronounce on someone, I forgive you. It isn't anything like that. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. It is the way you live from within yourself, and it is the way you live as a lifestyle. Your let go has to be constant. You have to live in let go. You have to live, move, and have your being in a let go. If you don't let go, if you don't practice let go, you will find within yourself a deep, deep, deep pain and sorrow building up in you. You'll be self-critical. You'll be more critical of other people. You won't realize the gravitas of the situation you might be in. In forgiving another person for all the things they maybe have done to you or me, you have to understand a couple of things. First of all, you wouldn't be in that position if it weren't correct for you and me. We are never in a position in this world that isn't in order with the way we have lived our life. If I have cause to maybe forgive you, I have to look at what put me in that position. What was it about me that made all this possible? How did I put you through enough things or draw to me your presence into my life and see how it all worked in a bigger fashion than the one that you hurt me or you asked me for forgiveness for something you've done that was terrible, all of that. You just can't go there. You just can't do that. Everybody makes mistakes, And I really feel that when Jesus said, they know not what they do, forgive them for they know not what they do, as he was dying, was not only courageous, but sums up our lifestyle and our whole life. We don't live well. We live entertaining ourselves. We live aloof from our hearts, our authentic hearts. We live aloof from the idea of understanding why people are in our life and what makes them possible in our living. We live aloof in all of that. And in doing so, we cause ourselves a tremendous amount of pain and sorrow. So the object of the game here is to understand the state of love and what love is all about. What is a forgiving lifestyle? Well, it is not attaching to the ideas of what is right and what is wrong. It is not attaching to the ideas that I'm a victim to someone else or someone else is a victim to me. It is about understanding our oneness. And a lifestyle in oneness means that I am inclusive of love and I would do anything I could for you that would make it possible for love to exist, not only within us, but between us. This would require a deep apology from me. People, you know, they hurt each other. And most people mean to hurt each other. They're trying to be doing the upmanship thing that is so very important to the pedestrian mentality. So if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to hurt other people, and I will need to be forgiven, and people will hurt me, and I will need to forgive them. But you see, forgiveness should never pass my lips. I forgive you. Should never, never pass my lips. What should pass my lips is a constant forgiveness, understanding that human beings are always in a constant flux in this world, in this lifetime. They're always up to mischief. You have to understand that. And the way I live in forgiveness is they know not what they do. I'm very aware that they don't know what they're doing. My students don't know. They will say and do things to each other, to me, and it is ugly. It's just downright ugly. And when I look at it and I think, well, how come they don't know any better? It's because they don't adopt the lifestyle of forgiveness, of a total let go. Do your best. Do your very best in every given situation. Everything you do, do your best. Do your best to love them, to forgive them. And when you're done and you can't do anymore, then let that go too. And if people condemn you and they say all, quote unquote, manner of evil against you, you have to understand this is the best they can do. This is the only thing they can do based on the premise of where they are. Love them where they are. Love people where you find yourself. Love them where you find them. And don't expect them to be anything more than what they is. And if you can understand that, if you can relate to that, then you'll find a huge change in your life, a huge meaning in your livingness. You will find what it is to find awakening and true love for another person. They may hold you to whatever. They may think you're crazy. They may not like you or whatever. But forgive them. What does that mean? Let them have their way. Let them think what they think. And don't let it change how you feel about them. Let them be love to you. And if you don't allow their behaviors to change the way you love them, the way you feel about them deep inside, then you have forgiven them. And you will need to forgive yourself. And if you're the one that needs the forgiving, then you have to admit, I know not what I did or do, and I want to change and amend my ways. And that's true forgiveness, to absolutely amend your ways and not allow them to define who you are, what you are, the way you are. So there you is. That's how it works. That's a small part of it. But to be honest with you, it is really all about letting love live you. And if you can put that forward, then you will never have to say to someone, I forgive you. If a person in my own life doesn't know I forgive them, then I haven't done a very good job with my forgiveness. I always want to live in the course of the way of forgiving them, to show them I love them, I accept them, and I will never, never, never seek any kind of vengeance towards them. It just doesn't do any good to hurt other people for their own mistakes. Then it becomes my mistake. Just something for you to think about. And that's a small part of it, but I hope it helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Megan. How do I get over my self-hatred? And then she goes, she put in her email, I have to get over myself, myself, myself. I thought that was very cute. You're not just Megan, and that's what you've got to see. You're more than a Megan. There is something deep inside you that is tormenting you. And this torment is usually genetic. It's usually something you believe in, something you think is wrong, or something you think you shouldn't have done, or it's this self. Who is this self? Who is Megan? You are a what? And you are not a self. You are not a thing. You are that which is. And you have to search for it. And the way you do it is obviously through meditation, but you look for it and you find it in the little nuances of your heart, of your soul, the little pause, the gap, the space between your thoughts. It is there that you find the blessing of your life, the meaning of your existence. And if you do that, if you can find that little small gap, where you are looking at your life not from the premise of pain and sorrow and blame and shame, but you look at your life, you ask, how do I get over my self-hatred? Well, you've got to get over yourself a little bit, and you have to understand Megan is going to be impulsive. She's going to say and think and do things that are impulsive. And some of those things aren't going to be the way Megan would like people to think of her as being, or she maybe will act inappropriately. So don't make that an issue. It doesn't need to be an issue. What needs to be an issue is love. Put love ahead of everything. What is love? That's the key. Megan, you are the love you seek. You are love. And if you don't go after it, if you don't make moves inside yourself to get over the Megan and understand what she is doing to herself, torturing her genetics, her DNA, if you don't get to be acquainted with her, you won't understand what she's all about and why she's acting the way she is. You have to go deeper, further inside yourself, beyond the beyond, as I always like to say, to see what is really occurring, not what you think is occurring. And if you slow down your impulse and you understand what your impulses are all about and the way they work, you will definitely make huge changes in your life. You'll see, oh, I don't have to act that way. I don't have to live from that. I don't have to be cruel. And that's the major thing. Oh, gosh, I ran out of time. I got to go. Megan, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. Thank you for listening. We will be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.